Press the button, asshole.
What's up, you motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Snacks Packs. How are you today?
I stood up to go grab something when it started, and I was singing it to my head to time it. When I put my headphones back in, I was dead on.
We've listened to the damn thing about a million times, so it's like, we better have that specific fucking part.
At least 160 times. I was like, I'm putting it back in, and it should be a...
This should be right at this part here. Got it. Good. excuse me. How was your day?
Oh, not.
Mine neither.
So I don't want to talk about work because it pisses me off. I talked to another company about changing jobs.
Yeah.
No, sounded okay. Not amazing.
What?
Didn't sound amazing.
What was the part of it that didn't sound amazing?
I mean, kind of all the benefits are worse.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me that I'm very leery of, and this may just kill it for me, they do the unlimited PTO variant. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Where your vacation, where they don't have a set amount of vacation days. You have unlimited amount of vacation days. You can just use it as much as work allows you to. And I was like, I hate that.
I don't
like that at all.
Yeah, that's
because the way those environments almost always work out is basically no one ever takes it, and or I don't have anybody who can cover my work, and I'm never allowed to take it.
Yeah, and it's one of
those
things. Whereas
the company I'm at now is like, you take your 4 weeks, and if you haven't taken it, get out and go use it
right
now.
Exactly, because it's one of those things of like, oh, it's always there, so you can have it at a different date because you're always going to have this vacation day. But when you have like your incurred vacation days, they're like, these are your days. You got to use these hours up.
I don't buy it. I'm sus, but I'm gonna see about it. They were talking about, they're like, we're gonna do one more interview step, and then the next step would be in person. We'd fly you out to Overland Park, to Kansas.
Nice.
And for the interview, and I was like, I'm like, you need to give me the offer before I go to Kansas.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna fly all the way out to Kansas. Then you're like, your pay will be less than right now. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not gonna do that.
Like tell me now if you're gonna pay me equal or more of what I like. Anything beyond
this needs
that,
to be worth it.
Anything beyond that, I'm not coming. Fuck you. Get out of here.
Yeah. My thing is, I'm like, if all the benefits are going to be a little bit worse, they need to give me like a lot more
money.
Me to do this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Also, this episode was brought to you in part by the Happy Anniversary to Sean and Miranda Foundation.
Yeah. Happy Anniversary to Sean and Miranda Foundation.
Yeah. April 21st will be there for their.
I hope this is the applause.
Yeah, their anniversary.
Nope, that's the air horn. Yeah, same thing.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it works. Fuck it.
She had asked that we do a shout out, and I said, of course we would do
that. Of course we would do that.
I'd like to listen to it. Also, Sean, someone else wanted me to tell you that they are also a mail carrier who listens to our podcast.
Hell yeah, dude.
I just thought that was kind of funny.
We're
I was
big
like, oh,
in
wow.
the mail carrier community.
Wait, you know what? Let's corner the mail carrier
podcast.
Yeah,
let's corner the USPS market, dude. I think we
should get a mail carrier on here.
We should, yeah. I wonder what fucking wild shit they've seen. I want someone who, like, inspects the packages. Like, if they're like, hey, this package
is... I don't think those people do that.
Is there a little... This package is a little suspect. I want the person that's like, let me go check that out. Let me see what's going on in there.
I mean... Since I've gotten big old packs of drugs in the mail, I don't know how much they inspect them.
Allegedly? I wonder how much drugs are actually caught in the mail system. I would imagine it's not much.
I know. I mean, first of all, the USPS is the number one drug dealer in the United States.
Dude, I went over to a mutual friend of ours' house a long time ago, and he was just like packing pounds away in a box, and I was like, for real? He was like, yeah. I was like, how do you do that? And he was like, just, you know,
seal,
vacuum sealed bags and a little bit of faith. And I was like, all right, well, That's crazy.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's crazy town of you, dude.
You're okay, here we go. Here we go.
Being watched right now.
Postal Inspection Service. Honestly, I don't think so. The Postal Inspection Service, from October 2022 to April 2023, they seized more than 3,200 pounds of methamphetamine, 3,500 pounds of coke, and 2,200 pounds of synthetic opioids across the country. I noticed it didn't say any marijuana.
Yeah, also, that's not as much as I would expect. That's not as much. No, that's not a at low all. Number. 3,500?
Well, how many people mail cocaine and meth? Though I feel like the cocaine and meth people are like the least likely to.
Yeah, I feel like those come over in like a boat or something, or they're like in the spare tire of a fucking car coming across the border.
This would be post-border. This is usually people in the U.S. mailing to other people in the U.S. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no one's mailing cocaine.
Okay, here we go. Postal Inspection Service, since 2020, it says 124,000 pounds of illegal narcotics. Y'all are only catching,
dude,
30K a year?
I feel like that's nothing.
With the market, you guys are missing a lot.
Yeah, with the market that's on the dark web of like shipping drugs, like you are missing a shitload, honest. That makes me more confident that I could ship illicit substances through the United States postal system.
This episode is brought to you by the Foundation to mail your drugs to each other. They never even look.
They can't catch us all, dude.
What are they going to do? Shut down the mail?
Shut down the mail system? This world would be in chaos, even though the only thing that comes in the mail is fucking coupons and fucking unsolicitations.
I saw today, I don't know why I was doing this. I was on the phone, I was going on my walk, and I looked down in this one air conditioner that I always walk by, and it was full of credit cards. There's tons of credit cards at the bottom of it. Different people's names and everything. Yeah, tons of them. I was like,
it's like a crackhead wishing well, but you just like put stolen credit cards in
it. I was like, whoa, weird.
That is crazy.
I was like, there's no way 10 or 12 different credit cards ended up here accidentally individually.
Dude, it's gotta be like someone swiping bags and fucking ditching their credit cards.
And they're using that as their drop spot.
Yeah.
I want to investigate that more. Dude, I saw it so random that I looked in there and I was like, I was on the phone with someone and I was like, why?
There's a lot of credit cards. Dude, pop the fucking fan off that bad boy. It's just a little hex nut. And then, you know, check them things out.
They're like, what are you doing? I need these credit cards.
Like, sorry, there's a bunch of credit. Where is this? Is it, like, attached to your neighbor's house?
Right next to an apartment building.
Oh, dude. Yeah, someone's swiping bags and fucking...
The thing is, there's hella homeless people around here. A lot of addicts. They've also... they've increased their camp to be on the other side of the creek, which I'm a little bummed about. I'm also like, guys, if it rains, you'll drown.
Yeah, for sure-sies.
So... They're like 6 inches off of the creek, and I'm like, you guys know when it rains a lot, it comes up like 6 feet.
Yeah, I don't. Something about homeless people doesn't tell me they're strong swimmers. I don't know the swimming ratio in the homeless community
of people dope leaning off.
Yeah, I'd say also nodding off while trying to fucking swim. I don't think it's gonna work.
Did you watch a Channel 5 video of the tunnel people yet?
No, I haven't.
You gotta watch it. I really want to talk to you about that. Okay. It's so good.
Is it a newer one?
It just came out.
Oh, okay. Then, I definitely will go.
It's like, he made a full-on documentary. Like, it's legit. It's like a 90-minute documentary. Bad. I do, too.
I want to do that so bad.
I know. It's amazing. It's really, I would love to do that. That's kind of if the podcast actually gets successful.
That's what I want to do with it. Yeah, I feel like...
Yeah. What we would do, I think, is make a documentary series about the fandom season.
That would be incredible. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We would help us fund this. Fucking listen to the podcast, share it with your friends, subscribe. Let's fucking get this going. I feel like if I wasn't hammered into my brain at an early age that I should be a productive member of society, I would be much more comfortable just quitting my job and being whimsical. But unfortunately, I've got the stress about not paying my bills.
I just know America's a machine, and if I let myself slip, I'll get swallowed up, and I'll end up a tunnel person, too.
Yeah, the orphan grinding machine, the capitalistic orphan grinding machine will grind you up if you even fucking miss a step. And I'm trying not to.
True. Dude, yeah, and it's
literally
the tunnel people video, one of the dudes there, he almost every one of those people who ends up homeless, on drugs, living underground, whatever, is like one fucking bad thing. Dude, one fucking bad thing. Like,
one thing.
One dude was like, my dad was sick, so I went to New Hampshire, and the next day I got there, someone carjacked me and shot me in the head. And he lost his eye, got addicted to painkillers, became addicted to drugs, lives in a tunnel.
Fuck.
And I was just like, fuck, dude.
It happened to anybody. Anybody.
And like, yeah, you know, a lot of them are like women getting in and out of abusive relationships and, you know, like, or getting hit by a car and stuff like that. Like, it's just all it takes is one, you know?
One bad accident. Slipping. Yeah, one bad accident.
Start slipping.
And that's a problem, you know? You would think that it shouldn't be like that, but, you know. And you tell someone that story, like a fucking, like, boomer or some shit.
Republican,
like, yeah, you're like, you better pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, I was shot in the fucking head, my guy. Like, what do you want me to do?
It wasn't my fault.
Jesus Christ. Sorry I got shot in the head, question mark. Well, if you had a gun on you, that wouldn't have happened. Not quite. Maybe, not quite, but not so quite. Sure, you fucking dummy.
Fucking, also this week sucked because Maude was scratching herself, and she scratched her ear and made a noise. And I was like, oh, what's a little lady? So I looked in her ear, and I found a fucking polyp.
No!
And
I was
like,
wow.
I'm like, look at that. In my cat's head, I just found a $1,000 bill.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem
right there,
for me.
Dude.
Awesome.
Little fucking.
And then I called the fucking vet, and I was like, hey, just for an idea, can you tell me, like, the lowest that it could cost and the highest that a polyp removal could cost? I just need an idea. I need an idea. And they're like, sure, sure. Let me talk to the doctor, and I'll call you tomorrow. And they call me tomorrow, and they go, okay, all you need to do is pay for an appointment, and we can tell you how much it could cost. And I was like,
just give me a fucking estimate, dumbass dickbag.
I was like, I'm just trying to get a rough neighborhood number. It doesn't have to be exact.
Stop being
like,
fucking asshole.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the doctor needs to see it for us to tell you a number. And I was like,
what is the lowest you've charged?
Oh my God.
What is the highest you've charged, dude?
I'm a person who needs to plan my money, and you guys won't even tell me anything unless I spend money. And she's like, yeah, that's just how it is. And I'm like,
no, it doesn't have to be.
I need to do some planning then.
Yeah.
And I just hung up. I was like, oh,
dude,
my God.
I'm going to throw a fucking firebomb through your window, dude.
And I tried another place, and I couldn't even get them on the phone. And they're like, it has this thing on the voicemail where they're like, go to the website. And I go to the website, do some stuff. They email me back 3 days later, and they're like, we got your appointment. Currently, we're booking new clients about 5 weeks out. And also, so fill out this form. We will call you to schedule an appointment. And also, there's a $50 booking fee that we will take out when you come back. And I was like,
you.
Oh, what the fuck is this? What the fuck are
you
talking about?
Yeah, that's.
I was like, I was thinking about going there because it's a cat clinic specifically.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe it'll be better because it's just for cats and they'll have all the cat stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, this shit?
Yeah, let me
like,
fucking.
What is
they're
going to do this fucking
hoops.
Surgery and. 12 weeks?
Dude, yeah, that's
bunch of adult being alive bullshit.
Goddamn.
Pissed me off.
Right, raise your blood pressure right there.
Oh, it fucking does.
Raise your
it
goddamn
really
blood pressure. What episode of Fallout are you on?
I finished half of it. I did the first four episodes.
Okay.
So, hold on. I needed to...
You gotta tell me the last thing that happened in your episode.
Yeah.
I don't remember, so...
I watched episode 5 too. That's right.
Okay,
so episode 5 was the episode spoilers. Maximus confesses his true identity to Thaddeus. The two stumble upon the ruins of Shady Sands, Maximus' former home. And Vault 33, they elect Betty Johnson as a new overseer, and let's see. Oh yeah, and then they ordered the vault to be repopulated by the people in that vault.
Isn't Betty
Johnson first of all,
the blind lady from Deadpool? Right.
Oh, the same person?
Yeah, she's the blind gal in Deadpool.
What? That's a good question. Also, I do this every movie and TV show I see Moises Arias in, I'm like, how tall is that little guy?
Yeah.
I saw him standing next to that other guy, and I'm like, how tall is Moises?
Holy shit.
He's 5'1", by the way. Damn. He's a little baby.
Damn.
Let's see. Deadpool. Yep, it is her. It is? Blind. Yeah. Yep.
Tell you that face. She good got a spot. Very distinguishable face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I love it. I love the show so much. I'm so happy with it. I will say Maximus is dog shit.
I don't think he's a good actor.
I'm like, dude, everyone else is acting their ass off.
Their dicks off, dude. And he's just like...
He sucks. Yeah. He just sucks.
Drier than fucking Ben Shapiro's wife's pussy, dude. That dude can't... Dude.
The episode... The part where the original Knight Titus is getting attacked... And Max is just like open mouth there, and he's like,
What's going on?
And I'm like, are you concussed? Either what the fuck is happening right now?
Act and do something or no? And ultimately,
because I was like, my thing was like, I thought maybe that scene was supposed to be him indicating his disillusionment with Knight Titus, maybe, you know, and he's like, doesn't like him or respect him, but I'm like, you're not acting that. Like, I just can't tell what the fuck you're doing at all.
That's ultimately kind of what it is him just being like, I don't like this guy, and if he dies, then
I'm
gonna let him die and take his power armor, and I can do whatever I want with it. But it just doesn't, I don't know. I think he has potential, but I don't think he's a good actor right now.
Not at all. No. Walton Goggins, a god. Incredible.
Incredible. Perfect. One of the best actors of our time.
He is.
Right up there with Michael Shannon.
God.
One of the best actors of our time.
He's so fucking good. The Ghoul episode was really cool. We get a little more info about ghouls than we had in the Fallout world. That was really cool. At least as far as I know. The scene where he comes back in, I text you about it, he comes back in and just does all the drugs.
I was like, relatable, dude. Yes. Relatable.
They
did a really good job of like making it very campy, but also like horrifying.
It feels like surprisingly realistic.
Yeah,
there's not a lot as much CGI as I thought there would be. The robot, fucking what, the Mr.
Cosworth
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like he looked. I mean, they used like a prop, and a lot of the power armor is a prop,
which is tight.
And
you can tell too. Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of that stuff, and they're filming on location for a lot of it, and that looks really cool. And here's where I think I hate to give Jeffrey the points, but like the CGI in the show looks excellent, and Amazon, Netflix CGI looks like such cheap, pathetic dog swill. I cannot I saw 30 seconds of it in the new fucking Avatar, and I'm like, you cheap fucks. I'm not interested at all. The gulper looked like so good.
Super good.
I was like,
terrifying.
Wow. I was
terrifying.
So impressed. I mean, and it was just like so high fidelity and like daylight and shit. It looked really good.
My only grievance, and it's not even that bad, is that most of the people looked too clean.
I think they do an okay job of that. They do make the knights and everybody all look really clean.
The only lady that looked like she had been living in a wasteland was the old lady that Vault Gal runs into.
I was thinking of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that community looked pretty run down. But Knight Titus, well, you got the Brotherhood of Steel, the scientist... And surprisingly, even the ghoul, they all are like sparkling.
And I just don't believe that. I'm like, you're in a radioactive wasteland.
The ghoul is like, what? Yeah. Why isn't he dirty? Yeah.
Exactly. So, I don't know. That was my only gripe, is everything looked a little too clean.
I didn't like the vault in the first episode or so, but it's kind of coming together and making more sense now, and I'm much more intrigued by it.
I think they...
It was weird, though, because they made the raiders look like they killed everyone there, And then they're like, oh no, they turned it around and arrested all of them. And I was like, really?
And kidnapped, they killed.
Like, there was a part at the end of the first episode where she has five of them on the ground
on their knees,
and a bomb. Yeah. And somehow those people end up taking the raiders and putting and imprisoning them.
I have no idea.
What?
Like,
didn't make any. That whole thing, that all editing, all that was really weird and shoddy. That part was confusing.
I feel like the bomb was to just block off Vault 32 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't supposed to kill those
He was
people.
Like, choose. He's like, your people or her. And he puts her in a closet. And then she turns the bomb on, and then those people just run away from the bomb and don't get hurt.
I don't know. Like, yeah, that was weird.
I was like, what's going on? I didn't understand
it's
it
so,
at all.
Maybe we're dumb or something, but it's so funny to me that like a multi-million dollar company like that, like with one of the most
huge
anticipated shows ever, they kind of fumble that, and it's like, bro, what? Like, do you not have time to go reshoot? What's going on here?
That didn't make a lot of sense. Yeah,
it did not make sense to me at all, but it is they do a really good job. I can't wait for you to finish it, because there's like some scenes I want to talk about where I'm just like, that's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm trying to finish it but it'll be done for sure by the next week. I'm trying to get I'm also getting into parts of Attack on Titan I've never seen before.
Nice.
Great intrigue.
I like that they made they gave an explanation for why some ghouls are like walking, talking people, and why some ghouls are like feral animals.
I don't think that had been really explained.
No, that had not been explained at all in the game.
Yeah.
It was
so
just,
I was like, oh, which was that's like, so cool.
If I remember correctly, it was a thing people would talk about. I'd be like, why are some ghouls like, you know, ravaged beasts?
Yeah.
And like others are just like functioning members of society. Will you go away, Toothless?
Is that Jet? Presumably, they're doing?
No, because Jet's like, because a guy in the first episode, I think, does Jet. You watch him, like,
he
inhales it and then blows it out. That I don't know what that, like, concoction they're taking is, to be honest.
Okay.
Because it doesn't look like, it kind of looks like some of the drugs you find in Fallout, but it doesn't look like any, like, specific one. You know, it looks like an amalgamation of a few. So I don't know if it's like a special concoction that like stops the radiation poison from your brains or whatever. I don't know.
Oh yeah, maybe they're just taking Rad away.
Yeah, that could be it too. That definitely could be Rad.
I don't know if we've seen. Damn, the Fallout show series. Damn, the subreddit doesn't have its shit together.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So there's not any discussion threads. I was trying to see if there would be one that would maybe go
another
on
thing
anyway.
That I'm like, can, like I'm like I, I'm kind of questioning.
Oh us. Wait, I found one.
Did
okay,
you
go ahead.
Have you gotten to the part where Vault Dweller Girl drinks water?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Part of me with that too is I'm like, you've been living in an underground vault your entire life, which means you don't have like an immunity to radiation like these people do.
I mean, I don't think you have any immunity to it. You just. Like, your body maybe gets a little more used
well,
to
it. Well, yeah, I mean, but... excuse me, hold on. 200 years of, like, being exposed to radiation, you've got to build up... I don't know, man, I don't know how that works. It's not something we've tested, but I feel like you've got to have some kind of, like, not immunity, but, like, resistance to radiation. And it might not be, like, it's not going to kill you, but, like, it might kill you slower, but she lived in a vault her entire life, shielded from radiation.
Dude, she's sometimes she has been a little slow to pick things up in the show.
Yeah,
there is that. So like that one part that was really cool when you see that guy transitioning to be like a feral.
Oh
ghoul,
yeah.
And he's like, my name is Roger. You know, and I saw that the ghoul mentioned apple pie.
Yeah.
So the guy was like, oh, apple pie, and he blows his brains out. Yeah. And Lucy's like. Why did you do that?
What I'm do
like,
you mean, you- dummy?
What? Look at that man. Did you hear him? Like, are
we're
you
not even
insane?
From this universe, and we know how that's gonna go.
I'm like, did you hear their conversation? And he was like, oh, looks like it's going pretty bad now.
And then the scene where she, like, you know, you run into fucking Codsworth, which is, you know, fucking Jackie Daytona. But she makes those dudes let, and that one, the one
oh,
guy,
that was so funny.
The one guy on the couch Not the big dude, but the guy with the hat on. That's, yeah,
yeah,
he's such a good B-rated actor. Like, he's never...
He always plays a dumb idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, we need somebody who'll sit on a couch with their mouth open.
Yeah, and just look like, dumb. He's like, I got you, brother. I got you. And she's like, let them out. And he lets the ghouls out, but, like, keeps the feral ones in the cage. And she's like, them too. And he's like, lady, I don't
think
like, you...
He's like, wait, I don't...
And I'm like, dude...
And she's like... She's like, I said all of them. Yeah. I'm like, I would argue a little more.
I would, yeah. I feel like I would be totally for letting them all out, but I would argue a little bit more of letting the feral ones out. And we see
I'd be like,
why.
Hey, this is for your safety.
Yeah,
this is for your safety. Listen to me for a second.
Listen to what I'm fucking saying, lady. But yeah, she's a little slow to pick things up, and I'm just like, okay.
But she's been awesome. I love her character. I was a little worried about this sort of, like... Mary Sue, I'm innocent in the a big terrible world.
Yeah,
kind of nah,
like
she's
the I'm an all American girl, and this is
no,
yeah.
She's been awesome. I was and like her giving the vials to the ghoul. I was like, damn. She is a real lady. She's
G-move.
A real authentic
G move.
Lady.
I mean, I guess when you're like raised in raised in a vault where it's like you got to be kind to everybody all the time or whatever, and you know, minus the cousin touching or whatever, that you just, you know, you even go into the surface and seeing horrible shit, you're like, oh, I'm gonna stick true to my values.
Yeah. Oh yeah, all sorts of cousins.
Yeah,
touching.
All yeah, cousin
she's like,
fondling, dude.
She's like fooling around with your cousins is fine as a kid.
I'm yeah. Like, no, not
that's
quite.
Weird.
I guess dude, I don't know. I guess you're stuck in a fucking vault with like what, you know, 100 people, maybe. Like, you're gonna do some cousin fondling on accident.
Yeah, right? Because... Yeah. Okay, yeah, about 100. I was trying to figure out how many people were in there.
I thought it was, like... I thought it was 100 to, like, 200 or something like that. Because all the... I don't know. Have you got to the interconnectedness of the vaults?
So the fifth episode is when Moises and the other and Bert, who's pretending or whatever, the guy who's dressing up as the dead man to fuck his wife. They went over to Vault 32
and saw all that
the
shit.
Stuff.
Okay, so like,
and then he was like, she was like, "Did you find anything interesting?" And he was like, "Good job cleaning up." I was like,
"Ooh, dicey."
Did you get to
the election and everything like that. So like,
yes. And that part is, I'm like, whoa, that's what made me really interested. I'm like, okay.
Especially the things looking glum, vote 31.
I thought that was really interesting.
They're like, why have we selected a Vault 31 overseer for the past 200 years? I'd be like, that's a little weird. That is a little dicey. I'm not dicey, but that's a little suspicious, you know?
I mean, but also, like, Vault people would definitely... Even the guy who was running against her voted for her.
Yeah,
like, Vault people are so
true.
Afraid of change, you
that's
know?
True.
Like, it'd be so easy to manipulate them.
Yes,
like,
it
so
would.
Easy.
Dude, you could fucking bring a Vault to its knees with a little bit of fucking narcissity.
Dude, yeah, seriously. They have no idea. They couldn't possibly.
No.
But also, that whole world is... I can't wait to find out more because... You get the impression that the vaults are being actively monitored by scientists, which is not how the game had ever depicted them. The vaults survived on their own, and everything up top went to shit.
Kinda. I mean, each vault had, which you'll figure that I'm not going to spoil
it. Had the experiments in
it.
Yeah,
and they talk about that later in the show, and really cool how they do that. But they didn't necessarily like. There were vaults that were monitored by scientists and stuff like that, and they like ran experiments.
Time?
Not the whole. Well, I mean, to a point until the scientists fucking died, or just like, you know, the experiment went wrong and they got fucking
like the way I had understood it in the games was like everybody started the vaults at like the people who built the vaults. They started them as experiments. Like everybody goes into their own experiment. They wanted to see what would happen to them. But I never got the impression there was any sort of functioning government to keep track of them after at all. You know what I mean?
Well, the idea,
I thought that was just kind of an optimism of like, oh, we'll be able to check on them, but there's
the idea of it wasn't that it was to, you know, when you say keep track of them after, the idea was to monitor them the entire time they're under the vault until they go to the surface. And so and then obviously some shit went wrong, and now there's no scientists left to monitor them.
God, I want to know. I want to know.
But it's like,
can't wait.
Yeah, it's making me want to play Fallout 4 or Fallout 76.
4 or New... Yeah, 76, really?
I like New Vegas, and I definitely will play it again, but I tried to play 76 a couple years ago, and it fucking blew dick, and I was like, I'm not doing
this. I've heard it's better now.
I've heard that too. I've heard it is much better now. Someone said it's not a No Man's Sky comeback, but it is pretty good, and I was like, that's a good way to put it. That's enough to make me go, okay, I'll give it a try. You know, if I got...
People still enjoy playing it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, it's like, it can't be total dog shit.
Yeah,
it would actually fall off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not. I think I'm gonna give it a try here soon. Once we maybe get done with our fours fucking run or something, or whenever I just don't have I don't know a game to play, because I think I bought it because I was gonna play it with Jotopo for a while, and then we just kind of didn't do it.
You want to hear some headlines?
I do.
I got some headlines. Latest one, I thought this one was just really funny. Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, signed a bill mandating that kindergartners learn the history of communism.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, if a Democratic governor did that, it would start a
civil war. There would be people would storm that country. Or I'm sorry,
and
that
I'm
state.
Like, what if we teach communism to kindergartners and they're like, actually, that makes a ton
of
sense.
Dude, I was about to say, Ron DeSantis just single-handedly bred a generation of communists.
Yeah. I was like, he may have strengthened union relations more than any man alive.
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious.
He signed it on the 63rd anniversary of the Pay of Pigs invasion, which are historical failure.
Yeah.
I was like, why would you do that?
Because he's dumb and doesn't see anything through.
Oh, there were veterans there who were fought against communism. That's not what the Bay of
against communism?
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Sure you did.
I just thought that was really funny. Yeah. I was like, you know, I don't think that's gonna go quite how you imagine.
Yeah. No, not at all.
And then the Red Lobster might be going bankrupt.
No, it's finally going to the end.
It's coming to the end. It's out of it lost a shitload of money on the endless shrimp deal.
Ooh.
It turns out people really took them up on that.
Yeah.
They did, yeah.
You said it endless, says, huh?
So this was crazy. Because I'm like, Red Lobster must not be very big at this point. Like,
no.
It's got to be falling apart.
But they said Red Lobster in like a decade, at least.
In quarter three, the $20 ultimate endless shrimp deal cost the company $11 million.
God damn, bro. Damn. They're just some dude, like the CEO that came up with that idea is just like aggressively shadow boxing in his garage. He's like, God fucking damn it, dude.
Who thought they'd eat so much goddamn shrimp? It's fucking insane. Fucking outrageous. But it's also just because Red Lobster is being like horribly mismanaged. Got recently bought out by a private equity Vulture Co. that buys them, strips them to pieces, you know, and then will bankrupt them. And so it's weird to think of another one of those classics just being out of the game forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can you imagine just like that's your life as you buy failing, you know, like.
Oh, chains? I work at a private equity firm. Yeah. I'm like, so you're like a piece of shit.
Yeah, I basically strip people's dreams down to the bare pieces and I sell it off and then make really big money on it.
So I can make the money. Yeah. They always lose their jobs, is how that works.
Oh,
there's literally never been a private equity firm that buys a thing and makes it better. They just rip it to pieces and move on.
Yeah, of course. Like, they're like fucking tornadoes. They just fucking rip everything apart and they're like, all right, let's see. Let's see you later.
Vultures in society.
I know, man.
Those people are.
I just don't know how you can like go to bed at night and be like, what I'm doing is helping. I'm fighting the good fight. I'm doing good stuff now.
I think when they lay down on their goose down mattress and 12,000 thread count all silk cheats, they aren't thinking about the rest of
it. No, not at all. I would have made a great equity person at 13. I just would have been fucking like, fuck you guys. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm gonna burn it down.
What else was it? There was, oh yeah, the former president of the United States is right now in the first ever criminal trial.
Yay!
Donald Trump is in trial. Isn't that insane?
Let's go.
He actually had to do one of his trials before the election.
First
he
for did, everything, baby. Number one. Number one, baby.
I've never seen a president get so many felonies. That's so record-breaking.
The most felonies, beautiful felonies, the best felonies you've ever seen. Huge felonies.
The funniest part about it is there's a couple really funny parts. One is Donald Trump has to be there every day for it. It's four days out of the week. He can't miss them. He can't miss them.
Yeah, brother.
For the next 8 to 12 weeks.
You got to show up for
Donald Trump
felonies.
Has never sat up. Literally, people will run through the timeline and they're like, Donald Trump has never sat in anywhere like this ever in his life.
Didn't he fall asleep his first day of trial?
He fell asleep the second day, too.
Let's go, dude. Yeah, I like that.
And he tried to intimidate a juror, and the judge was like, hey, lawyer, he needs to watch his fucking ass because
awesome.
I will arrest him.
Yeah,
I will.
That's
incredible. I was like, dude, here's the people are right. Donald Trump has never been held accountable.
Yeah,
truly.
Never.
Truly, 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 never, ever. And if he ever admitted stuff in the private testimonies, it was never in front of people and it was never public. So this is the first time ever in his whole life that things have to go, that he has to be a part of a thing. He can't control it. He can't change it. Nothing. He can't do nothing. And I really don't think he can shake it. I think he was he's going to have an outburst in court. He's going to get jailed or house arrested or something. Cause they're like, dude, you can't keep, himself.
That's what I'm hoping for. Cause like you said, he's never been held accountable. And also he's always been in control of every situation he's ever been in. So now he's like, if I'm going to fucking, say, what's up? Nice tits to this juror. I'm fucking gonna, dude.
And his lawyer's like, oh
he's
my
not
God.
Gonna stop himself from saying it. So
the lawyer is like, you need to pay me before we start.
Yeah,
this case.
Dude, for
I'm not. Yeah, up front for all of this. But yeah, that's fascinating. It is looking like that will be the only case out of all of them that he has to serve. The other funny part about it is that. It's not even the prosecution really is proving a crime. They're like, no, he did it. For sure. Look, here's the records. Here's the lady. Yeah. Here's the receipts. They're like, there you go.
It's been happening. It done happened.
It's been, it done. And there's, no chance in hell that that they can really flub it that much.
Yeah.
So
I wonder what's gonna happen.
I'm really intrigued. So yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. I was like, he's probably gonna get the charge. He's probably gonna get convicted. I think every judge in all of America is a pussy.
Yeah,
I mean that wholeheartedly. And they won't, no judge in America will put him in jail, even if whatever he does is a jailable offense that other people go to jail for.
Yeah.
Never. He won't do it. They're all pussies.
You make him black and under the poverty line, he's going straight to jail.
Oh,
straight
they wouldn't jail, have had bitch. A trial.
Yeah,
you fucking kidding me?
Straight to jail.
He would most of the time they wouldn't even fucking live to the trial.
That's
true. The police would have just killed them for whatever
immediately.
The 80 times that he's had to deal with the fucking courts.
Yeah.
So he's gonna catch a charge, and I'm like, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And what was really funny is I saw this poll. I don't believe anyone who calls himself a political independent. I'm like, yeah. Are you trying to decide if you're gonna vote for a Republican? You stupid fucking idiot. But they're like, there's a bunch of independents who said, if Donald Trump gets a felony conviction, I'm not going to vote for him. I'm like,
that's what does it? A felony conviction? Yeah.
What about everything
else?
Gestures broadly to all of it.
Everything else.
They're like,
Hold on. Fill the air. I got to kick my cat out real quick.
You're stupid fucking cats. We got to squeeze these things. The thing is, cats are going to live forever, too. And even though Wargus is, chronically obese, I feel confident that she's going to live to, 25 and just be an endless madness. Toothless. I also am sure will live longer and will be like the most terrible older lady cat. All right, he's putting
Worst, man. It was Borges, though. I love Borges. But it was Borges. I, like, when I get home after work and I take my suit off, I lay it across this thing up here, and Borges has taken a liking to jumping up there and laying on it. And so every time I put my fucking suit on, I have to like defur it because she sheds. I hate it. I can't do it. As much as I love her, she's the best cat ever, but I can't fucking, no. Can't do it.
But Borges is a pretty good cat.
Yeah, she's a great cat. Toothless is a demon. A goddamn fucking menace.
Toothless is a devil. Black cats are devils. They really are.
I've met some like.
My sister's black cat is like. She's always bitching because my dad and uncle aren't like very nice to it, and they treat it like shit. Like they're lazy. Yeah. But I'm like, Kelsey, I don't know how to tell you this. Your cat is really awful. Like it is. It's awful. It's so annoying and mean. It does everything wrong.
I came home the other day from being out of town, and I like went over to like set my things down on my bed, and I moved my like jersey that it was laying on my bed. And Toothless had thrown up on my bed and covered it with my jersey, but she had also thrown up directly on the plug-in part of my, like, charging cord. I'm like, you fucking cunt, dude. What, like, why there? Why of all places there? I don't understand.
That way it's, like, plugged in and warm and it, like, cooks a little.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God.
Thank you, kitty. That's so specific. Like, she did it on purpose.
I know. And then she, like, she'll be a fucking
dick. She throws up a lot, too.
Dude, yeah. Not as much as she used to, but, like, ever since I got a slow feeder, but she'll still like eat like a motherfucker and then throw it all up immediately. But like, she does this thing of like, she'll be a cunt all day, and then as soon as I get done for the night and I'm like sitting in bed eating ice cream, that's the second she wants to be all fucking over me. And I'm like, dude, what the, like, I have to like physically throw her to the other side of the bed for her just to come back up. And I'm like, it legitimately gets me angry. Like, I don't get angry with my cats often, but it pisses me off. I'm like, fucking give me 15 minutes and you can have all the love you want. But right now I don't want your fucking tail in my ice cream. I'm sorry.
Dude, Maud, it's like, if I'm sitting on the couch, she sits on my lap. Fine. That's fine. But I'm like eating and I'm like pushing her away. And it's like, it's not even happening to her. She's like, oops, your hand was in my way there. Let me scoot past this real quick. Yeah. I'm just like, no, you fuck. You little demon.
It makes me extra mad because I don't let them on the bed when I'm eating like actual food. Like when I'm having actual dinner, I'm like, you're not allowed on the bed.
You eat dinner in your bed?
Well, or like I sit on the edge of the bed and like eat. And so.
So you're like eating over the floor?
No, yeah. I mean, that's fine.
You know, I sit on the couch. I'm not sitting at, I'm like, what, you sit at a table? Yeah, like, yeah, no. Fucking, I know. No one does like that shit. Like a psychopath.
So like if I'm eating, I don't let them on the bed. And it like, it, the quickest way to just like set my temper off is for one of them to jump up on the bed while I'm eating actual dinner. And yeah. I'm just like, you know what you're doing, because
they know.
If you know when I'm ending the stream by my sign off, you know that you're not allowed on the fucking bed. Like, I don't play fucking dumb with me.
If I wake up, even if I wake up fucking 15 minutes before my alarm, 10 minutes before my alarm, Maud doesn't do nothing. She's like, whatever, we're sleeping.
Yeah.
If my alarm goes off, she's like, I know you're getting up, bitch. Mm-hmm. I know you're getting up, bitch. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting up.
Oh, it's so annoying. Yeah. So annoying.
They're so smart. I love them.
I hate them. Love them. Hate them so much.
How long have we been gabbing?
43 minutes.
I don't have... Mine's not very long, so...
Mine's not super long either.
My last headline I wanted to tell you about was crazy, because I think it's... I literally think it's the episode of a Black Mirror. But... The headline is, Ohio man fatally shot Uber driver after scam phone calls targeted both of them.
What?
So what happened was, 81-year-old William Brock, the murderer, had received scam calls from someone pretending to be an officer from the local court, who eventually began making threats and demanding money. The victim, Lalitha Hall, 61, was an Uber driver who had been told to retrieve a package from Brock's home. A request authorities say was possibly made by the same scam caller or an accomplice. Hall had no knowledge of the calls made to Brock. When she arrived at the home and got out of her car, he pulled out a gun and demanded that she tell him who had made the threatening calls. He also took her cell phone and would not let her leave. When she tried to get away, he shot her once. And then two more times as they discussed the situation.
What?
Dude, and I was like, well, okay, so this guy's like a stone cold piece of fucking garbage.
Yeah, what?
But also, two scam callers, or one, made that whole situation happen. And they killed somebody.
That is
insane. Yeah,
fucking killed somebody. That's crazy, that, dude. Holy shit.
Isn't that fucking nuts? Dude, yeah. What if we find out that was just an algo generating with some AI voices?
Dude, that would be like alarming.
A person is... Dude, I wouldn't even be surprised. Imagine, like... With the tech we have right now, tell me if you think it's plausible that someone creates an quote-unquote AI that identifies specific old people that would fall for scams,
yeah.
Generates voices and a script, and extorts money at them all autonomously.
Completely plausible. Completely plausible. Yeah,
completely plausible.
I think it's plausible. I think there would need to be... like a moderate level of human intervention to make sure everything is running smoothly, but I think like an AI could do it all themselves through the line.
I think so too.
Do you see?
I don't think that's what this was, but
no,
this made me think of such a Black Mirror episode. Yeah, and I was like, "We're not. If we can crazy. Do this, if we can do this to a couple of old people who fall for whatever." Like, it's so easy to do this with AI.
Imagine like people running like AI swatting bots, like AIs that just run and swat streamers and shit like that. I mean, people die like that. Did you see?
That's just insane.
Did you see the guy that shot that girl for pulling in his driveway and turning around? Got the fucking that motherfucker gonna die in prison now.
He
got like a life sentence. Yeah, some shit like 50, 60 years. It's good. And you're like sitting there in court. He's like sitting there listening to the judge read everything out. And the judge is basically just like, you're a piece of shit. Like, we have, like, you shouldn't, like, why would you do that? Like, you're fucking awful. And the guy's just staring at him like he doesn't give a fuck.
This guy, and I'm like, this dude shot them three times. This lady three times. Dude, what kind of person is it? Like, it freaks me out to hear this shit. I'm like,
I just don't have
is
that.
Is the average 80-year-old man around me, like, literally capable of, like calmly talking to me while I bleed to death? Yeah. That's real?
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Well,
dude.
I think it's a thing of like entitlement too, where they're like you have done something that makes me feel like you've crossed me and you have overstepped your boundary, especially on their property. Like, for some reason, old people have this thing like, if you're on my property, I can do whatever I want.
Biblical fucking
And it's that's not how that works, bro. Like, you can't. Like, if you shoot somebody, you can't just sit there and watch them bleed out or shoot them again. You know. Unless they're a threat, but you get what I'm saying. They just, I don't know. They have this, like this entitlement that they can fucking just torture you on their property.
Dude, it fucking scares the shit out of me.
It's terrifying.
That it's just, all it takes is a fucking bad phone call and he's just like, I'll kill. And that, like, I'm sure that lady was fucking explaining the situation.
Dude,
and that stupid fucking old man, there's like nothing is getting through to him.
A bad phone call. How old was the guy that shot that lady?
81.
Oh God, yeah,
that's what I was saying. Yeah,
he's Gonski's.
Oh, is that really old? Is that really old?
Yeah.
Is that really, that's how old our president is.
Yeah,
that's
it's
how
crazy,
old the president,
right?
That's the president of America.
Like, yeah, but yeah, you know, feels like he can just fucking shoot somebody while they're trying to explain the situation. That haven't like if they were like if they had like attacked him, I get it. Yeah, whatever. But, like, a threatening phone call is not enough to kill somebody. Or just killing somebody for using your driveway to turn around in.
Oh, my God.
Fucking
like,
insane.
You're such a pussy. You're such
a
pussy,
dude. I know.
You're such a pussy.
Such a
I'm like, I've
pussy.
Answered the door in situations that boomers think would get me killed
dude,
a billion times. I'm like, you're such a pussy. You're shooting people when you're
shooting
in your house.
Women, bro.
And they're in their car, and you get out and shoot the... Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Are you stupid?
Shooting women, too. It's like, if it was, like, some fucking, like, jack dude, I'd be like, I guess how you maybe could see it was a threat, but it's like a woman, bro. And like boomers are notorious for being like, oh, you fucking this over here woman thinks she can do all the day. Yeah, fuck off.
Oh my God, dude. Insane. Absolutely fucking bonkers. These people are ridiculous. This generation, I think, is going to be like the generation of old people we have now, I think, will be like one of the dumbest ever.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
Because after this, we stop using lead in our gas.
I was about to say,
you know, and it's just, it's going to get better.
Have microplastics in our blood. That's okay. Yeah. That doesn't make you dumb. All right. I mean,
it doesn't make you stupid. Yeah, it just means we can't make any more babies.
Yeah.
Who cares? Ooh. It doesn't make you stupid. Yeah.
So I can't afford them, idiot. Yeah, dumbass. I can't fucking afford having kids. But like eating lead paint chips and stuff like that, and like eating lead utensils, using lead utensils
and lead in the gasoline.
Yeah, lead in your gasoline. You know, inhaling those fumes. Yeah. You guys are dumb.
Dumb. So I'm gonna get started unless you got any updates.
Go ahead. If I think of something,
right, we should probably get started. We did some good gabbing.
We did some gizzabbing.
So I'm starting I'm doing the asshole this week, so I get to start us off.
Hell yeah.
Also, thanks to people who have been sending ideas about who we could cover. I appreciate that. It's good. We need ideas. It's hard to find people.
It is.
I spent hours looking for people. So anyway, I'm going to tell us the story of ye old Louis Buchalter, or more commonly known as Lepke Buchalter.
Nice.
Born February 6, 1897, Lepke was born in a Russian Jewish family in Lower East Side Manhattan to a family of four siblings. His father owned a hardware store, and his mother was a lady. And in 1909, when Lepke was only 12, his dad died, presumably of a touch of consumption or old-timey ghosts in his blood.
Yeah, sometimes you just die.
The man was 60 years old, so his time had come.
The Grim Reaper was a knockin'.
Yeah, so he'd finished school the next year, and Lepke did, and started working and selling theatrical goods. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I saw that mentioned several times, and I was like, okay, I'll just...
Yeah, this blender sings show tunes, so...
The goods are theatrical.
Yeah.
His mom had health issues, also presumably consumption, and so she had to move to Arizona, and I actually think she might have had... tuberculosis or something.
Oh, for realsies?
Moving to drier places. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Moving to an arid. Yeah.
And so she left one of her daughters in charge of old Louis, who would quickly turn out to be a bit too much for just his sister.
Yeah.
So by 1915, Buchalter entered the system for the first time for burglary and assault. He was held for 18 days for a grand jury, but ultimately dismissed. This happens again in January of the next year. This time, just a two-day stint, charges dropped again. I don't understand the court system. How do you get arrested so many times and released so many times? I don't understand.
Wait, what year was this?
We are in 1915.
Yeah, that's why. They're just like...
I mean,
unless you killed somebody.
We just defied your rights.
Yeah, you're a white guy, dude. Fucking get up on out of here.
Remember that realist sent you? That guy who was doing the skit of, like, if you tried to, practice your rights in 1915, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's against my right of intention. They're just, bow, 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 bow. Yeah. They don't give a fuck. They can do whatever they wanted back then. So he moves in with his uncle in Bridgeport, Connecticut. They're just doing... I know we've run into this a bunch of times. They're doing the classic shuffle the shitty kid around method. That was super common back then. Because I guess back then, everybody had so many kids, they're like... I mean, I don't care if I raise this one. Put them in the pile.
Throw them in the kid pile.
Have a factory? Make them work.
Send them off somewhere in a couple of years or so.
So then he gets arrested again in February, this time under the alias of Louis Caver, for a simple theft charge in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I found this old FBI vault doc about this guy. It was a PDF from a typewritten page.
Whoa, crazy.
It said he was accused of stealing a hand grip from a salesman's car. I don't know what that is.
What is that?
I don't know.
What's a hand grip?
I looked everywhere, and the only thing I found was like a strap, like one of the panic straps of a car. And I was like,
I thought you were talking about
an arrest-worthy
hand
thing?
Grip for like a gun or something. But I don't know. Then
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea what it is. But apparently, if you steal it, you can go to jail.
Straight to jail. Believe it or not.
Yeah, whatever it is. So he got convicted and sentenced to a reformatory for juvenile offenders with technically an indeterminate sentence, and he was released 18 months in June 17. Technically, the FBI said that he violated parole, but the board just dismissed the arrest warrant because they're like, I don't know, fuck it.
Yeah, who cares?
They don't care. He was supposed to be working for his uncle, but they got into it because of wages, and Buchalter moved back to New York shitty. So now we're past all the going to prison stuff.
Okay.
That's to establish what kind of swell guy he is, what kind of upstanding member of contributing society he is. And now that he's like, all right, I got to get my shit together. And he gets out of jail in 22 on parole, even though he told everybody he didn't get parole. I got to say, it doesn't seem like he was very rehabilitated.
No, from all this not person. At all.
I don't know. So he gets out. He goes to work with an old childhood buddy who is now a mobster called Jacob Gura.
Hell Shapiro. Yeah. See Shapiro?
Gura was his nickname. That was his gang nickname.
Okay.
That's maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. Gura. I could look that up.
How's it spelled?
But it G-U-R-R-A-H. It's Gura. It's a type of coarse Indian muslin.
I wonder how you got that fucking name. That word too.
Well, it's funny you ask. that's a fabric. And the two of them, using classic mob techniques, began to take over the garment and fabric unions in New York City.
Hell yeah.
I was like, oh, very obscure fabric nickname you got there.
Yeah. Like, that's a deep cut.
Not very... Yeah. Yes. It's like not very badass.
It sounds like ridiculous enough to be like a last name of somebody's, but also like you just would never know that it was a nickname. Like no one would ever guess that.
No, I would just think that's his name. Yeah, yeah. I've never heard that word in my life. Oh, wait. Let's see. Gura. Yeah. It's a very obscure. Like, I don't know.
Interesting.
So, anyway, I was like, maybe that fabric was more common.
At the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
22.
I mean, if he's a mobster, then maybe. I mean, he makes suits out of it, then... Maybe they were like, I love a good suit. Let me get that Gura.
No, that's like the kind of I forget. Hold on. Muslin, yeah. Muslin is like almost like gauze. You know what I'm
talking
fucking about?
Like that kind of weave. You're telling me that fabric reads the Quran?
You're telling a Muhammad made this fabric?
Goddamn
right
Muhammad. Okay, so maybe not then. I don't know, dude.
I don't think that'd be a good suit. Coarse one? It's a particularly coarse muslin too.
Damn.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I think they were just
a lot to learn. Like, if anyone knows anything about it, I'd love to know
if
more.
If you're a Gura specialist, let us know. Maybe they're just saying he's a fucking dick. And it's like a coarse fabric. And like, you're a pretty coarse guy to be around.
Yeah,
like,
you're
rubbing me the wrong way.
Yeah.
You're like a handy J at a medium pace with sandpaper. I don't like you.
So once they had control of some of the unions, they started to threaten strikes against owners to demand weekly payments, setting up a classic protection racket.
Naturally.
He expanded the protection racket into the bakery, trucking, and other unions, gaining him wealth and prestige and securing his name as a major figure in the mafias. I actually saw a thing about how these industries in New York City got a lot more legitimized and like advanced as a result of his like organization and coalescence.
Really?
And they were like, I mean, shitty. Like, sure, he was a thug who did a bunch of awful stuff, but like he whipped him into shape, and they were particularly like working together. So they really made a name for themselves.
Yeah,
and he's making like $5 million a year doing this.
It's crazy. It's $5 million a year back then. What, in 1915?
1920
yeah. $5 million in 1920.
It's like $100. It's like $100 mil.
I mean, it's crazy too, because
like 110.
A lot of the mobs fucking so $5 million in 1920 is equivalent in purchasing power to about $78 million today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not as much as I thought, but still.
Change of the year to 1922. I want to see if it makes a difference.
1922. 88 million.
Wow.
That's quite the jump.
Wow, we had some rough years in the
20s. Yes, we did. But it's crazy how like a lot of the mob businesses were like legitimate fucking
They were businesses, you know. It's like how the cartels like sell avocados.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, it makes money. Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Now he's a big boy. He's a big boy with big boy pants, and he makes big boy money.
Big boy on campus.
He then formed an alliance with Tommy Lucchese. That's not Lucchese. His name. I was going to pronounce it like that. A crime family boss from an offshoot of the Cosa Nostra.
Okay.
Together, they control basically the entire garment district, like these two dudes. I know. Insane. Probably a sign of my ignorance, but I didn't realize how many fucking Jewish gangsters there were.
Dude,
there
was
a lot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Jewish gangsters. That's badass. I wish we had more of it. But even while criming, they did take time from their luxury homes to go to synagogue basically weekly.
As you said.
They got money, temple, bitches. Life's great. It's going awesome. Yeah, fucking banger. In 1927, both Buchalter and Shapiro were arrested and interrogated over the attempted murder of a Jack Diamond. Jack Legs Diamond, by the way.
What a name,
A legendary bootlegger as part of the burgeoning bootlegger wars of the late 20s. I know, Jack Diamond, I was like, that's exquisite. Oh, that's
incredible. Bro, the Prohibition era is like one of my favorite times in history.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I crank my hog to that shit. I love
that. That's awesome. That's also when the police, like, they carried the same guns that soldiers did, and they just fucking got in warfare whenever they pulled up on thugs, you know? They didn't care. They arrested them. Who fucking gives a shit?
Dead, arrested, it was the same thing.
They're like, I'm going to take a picture next to their face or their corpse. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Either or,
So, Lepke always told people that he came in to cooperate, like he was just doing them a little favory-poo, but he got arrested. But he got discharged a week later. He also cranked out another little arresty poo in July. I actually wrote arresty poo in the notes. In July 1929 for doing a bit of a union job, banging up a clothing store that didn't pay its dues. So he was banging it up. And he actually, the FBI report said that it was the first time that he said it was his first time actually doing the job. Like actually banging up a place, you know, that didn't pay. I know. I was like, I don't know how that could be possible.
Yeah, for real.
What do I know?
Did you just?
I mean, maybe
slide?
If you just show up with a gun and you tell people pay me, and they just do and assume you won't, you don't have to beat their ass.
Yeah, that know. And like if you got a bad enough reputation in town, I mean, I'm sure people do.
But I feel like you only get a bad enough reputation from beating people's ass.
Yeah.
So,
or like, are getting people to beat people's asses? And they're like, that's the guy that gets people to break people's legs.
I also was cracking up about Jack Diamond's nickname is Legs.
Legs, yeah.
And they were like, as a result, his name was either because he was a bootlegger or because he ran away a lot. And I
was like, it could be both.
Like, okay, I guess. So,
Jewish mobsters, man? Hell yeah.
So Buchalter was known at the time, especially for keeping his trap shut. He didn't talk. He was known when he's hanging out with people. He didn't say nothing.
He's
a real cool Killian Murphy, smoke cigarettes, say nothing kind of feller. And he avoided the spotlight, preferring to keep a low profile.
Middle-aged dudes inspired fierce loyalty memes about with him as the background today.
Oh, my next sentence was he inspired fierce loyalty by always generously paying that his associates, and he would take them on sports games, cruises, vacations. He, you know, really did try to fucking make sure his crew stood by him. Awesome boss. So, in 1929, Buchalter's the big man on campus, and he wants to go bigger, so he hosts a conference. This is insane. In May of 1929 in Atlantic City, the last year that Atlantic City was in a total shithole. And it's a mafia conference. Like, Al Capone is there. Like, Bugsy Siegel,
that's
Albert
badass.
Anastasia, Tommy Two-Tone, the works. They fucking all show up and have a big gang coalition meeting. I'm like, dude, that's so cool. It must be so cool to be at that level of gangster and you're like, we need to meet up and talk.
Yeah, we just have a mafia con, dude.
Yeah, I know, right? And you're like, imagine being the guy setting it up and you're like handing them their like name tags and stuff, you know, like here's the goodies.
Yeah, sorry,
they're like, all right, we're gonna do a bit of icebreaker. Everybody's gonna do two truths and a lie.
You're like handing out name tags. What's your name? Jimmy the Knuckle Breaker. All right, write that down. Is that two ends or one?
Yeah. So, with all the gangsters together, they have a genius idea, and they come up with the National Crime Syndicate, a historic first in America of a multi-ethnic mafia.
Hell yeah!
Hooray!
Equal opportunities, brother.
Diversity, brother. They had allied the Italian mafia and the Jewish mob. They were called those two things separately. I didn't want anyone to think I was picking words. And there was also involved Irish and African-American in gangs. And I was like, dang, they really didn't give a shit. That's so cool.
That's so cool.
That's, I was like, I love they called it. They're like, let's call it the National Crime Syndicate. It's a little not, on the nose.
Say, not inconspicuous at all.
Yeah. Little on the nose.
Yeah.
So they worked, they developed this to work together to eliminate rivals, and so they developed a system to murder gangsters while still insulating the higher-ups from the crimes. Did I come up with the name of this? They called this, eventually the media would call this Murder, Inc. It's very famous.
Yeah.
So the scheme of it basically was that Buchalter had this partner, Albert Anastasia, who would get the name of who he needed to sleep with the fishes from his bosses at Cosa Nostra's. And that would come through an intermediary. So Cosa Nostra, an intermediary to Albert. Albert to Buchalter. Buchalter would go to Street Thug, and they would do the hit.
Nice.
And they had
Cosa Nostra pizza from fucking Snow Crash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for real. So the hitters were paid a regular salary. They were given a retainer.
That's tight, dude. Hell yeah.
And then they were given a fee for each killing. I was like, this
is amazing, dude. That is like, yeah.
They're like, dude, working for the NCS is awesome.
It's fucking sick, bro. I bet they got,
I have a pension, bro.
I was about to say, like, they got an annual, like, health savings plan form they got to fill out, dude.
I actually had a joke. Presumably, they also had a health insurance system. Then they also gave money to the families and supported them if any of them ever went to jail. But oh man,
they don't make crime syndicates like they used to.
They literally, dude, I was thinking that. I was like, you know, back when men were men. We just did it right, yeah. You know? The gangs now, they want to buy shit and flash hand signals and not get insurance for their friends. Uh-huh. Like, come on, dog. Come on. No retainer? Are you for real? But, so the gangs loved it. They loved the system. Everybody was on board. It was believed that they had killed between 400 and 1,000 people. Big estimate, but the police are terrible at everything.
Damn.
Remember, while they were all doing this, J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, insisted they did not exist.
Yeah, of course.
Remember that. Well, we talked about that in. I did J. Edgar Hoover. I can't remember what season it was.
No, it's not.
That was ages ago. Oh no, that was ages ago. I want to say Hoover was a Relentless.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's when we started. Oh, Wiretap Tussle. I think that's it.
That is it.
Yes. Episode 12 of season 14. We recorded that, by the way, quite some time ago. That was July 6th of last year.
Damn.
So
that's fucking crazy, dude.
You're like, that was this season. I'm like, dude, it's no.
I have no concept of time.
It was a whole half of a year before this year of this season. So they killed all those people. J. Edgar Hoover didn't do anything about it. This was around the time that Harry Anslinger, the drug czar, started to get kind of an idea of it. In 1935, the estimate was that they had about 250 employees making over $1 million a year just off of the murder racket. And I was like, holy shit, this is insane. This allowed them to extend the rackets to trucking, garment, baking industries all through New York, and allowed Lepke to buy a sweet nightclub in Manhattan. Because, you know, they're killing their competition at this point. Like, they're really making moves. So that same year, a little bit of drama pops up because gangsters are notoriously hot-headed folk, as anyone who's seen the crime documentary The Sopranos has illustrated. New York gangster slash bootlegger Dutch Schultz proposed that the NCS should kill Thomas Dewey, who was a New York DA who'd been on a bit of a crusade tirelessly squeezing the mob. This is the same Thomas Dewey, for all my history buffs listening, that did become a presidential candidate to lose against FDR and Harry Truman. But his national profile was developed from squeezing mob, just like Rudy Giuliani, except Rudy Giuliani's head turned into mush and he went to a landscaping hotel and sweat his hair off in front of everybody. Everybody thought that his idea was stupid. They were like, Dutch, we're not going to kill the DA that's making all the fucking thing. Although the gang had been killing people who'd been working with him. They'd been trying to kill people to keep him away.
Yeah.
And he was like, let's just kill Thomas Dewey. Genius idea, idiot. Fucking, you're so smart. Dude. You're so smart. Fucking idiot. So everybody was like, nah, too much heat. We're not going to kill a fucking DA. Like, that's insane. And he's like, fuck you guys. I'm leaving, and I'm going to kill him anyway. And he walks
I'm
out.
I'm
going
to kill him myself. Just like, yeah. See you later.
And walks out of the meeting of the bad guys. You know what I mean? Like, dude, you think are you sure?
You think you're going to do that? You think you're just going to, you know, leave and go kill a DA?
After everybody just said, don't do that. Yeah. Like, no, I don't know.
The mob is not really known for their understandingness.
No. So, the commission is what it was called. The men in charge of it.
Love the commission.
Liberated.
Man. Love the commission.
I know. That's such a good name.
Such a badass name, bro.
They deliberated for 6 hours and decided Schultz now has to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
He closes the door and they're like, okay. And the next point in the meeting is shoot and kill Dutch Schultz. Yeah. So Buchalter sent down the order and Schultz was shot in a bar in Newark, which, I mean, nothing worse than dying in Newark.
Dude,
oh
my
real. God. And he died the next day actually too. So it took a little bit of time. Damn. The shooter, Charles the Bug Workman, would get life in prison, but he got paroled out in 23 years.
The Bug.
Yeah, holy shit. So on November 8th, 1936, Buchalter and Shapiro were convicted of violating antitrust laws in the rabbit fur industry of New York.
What a way to get taken down.
I was
dude.
Like, that's how they're like, we'll get you, you little fucker.
Yeah, one way or another, bitch. Something.
We'll get Capone for his taxes, or we're going to get you for antitrust laws in the fur
they're
industry.
They're like, you got so many fingers in pies, you don't know what the laws are.
Yeah,
for some
that's
of them.
True.
So we're going to fucking get you.
As an expert in bird law, I know I'm going to get you. Yeah. You don't see a lot of convictions of antitrust laws these days, especially not against the rabbit fur industry. They both got bail, obviously, and then they both disappeared. They were sentenced to 2 years in prison in absentia.
2 years
in that. But then they go in life in the lamb. While Buchalter was still a fugitive, $5,000 bounty went up for his info, leading to his capture. And he was also indicted in absentia for a conspiracy to smuggle heroin into the U.S. by bribing customs agents to not inspect certain trunks of certain ocean liner travelers.
Damn.
Genius. Also, I think at this time, you maybe even could have legally imported heroin and just not smuggled it, you know? And I think that's so funny. I'm like, dude what are you doing?
Get like some
just
of the
do
medical
it the right
license.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah, the medical license. You're good.
In April of the next year, Shapiro surrendered, but Buchalter was still leading feds on a multi-continental manhunt. They were looking for him in Poland. They were looking for him in England. They were looking for him in fucking Palestine.
Damn.
The bounty goes up to 25,000. And a couple months later, he finally surrenders to now FBI chief J. Edgar Hoover, dude, who is currently admitting that the mob exists.
There we go.
He's like, oh, yeah.
What year did he surrender?
This would have been 1938.
1938.
20, so 16 years after starting.
In 1938. $20,000 then in 19...
25.
Oh, $25,000?
Yeah. Yeah, hefty sum. I bet that's like, what, 600K?
25,000 in 1938. About 553K.
Wow. Wow. Damn.
That's a hefty bounty.
That's a hefty bounty, yeah for real. So, fun fact, after he surrendered, he was in New York the whole time. He never went to anything.
Dog the Bounty Hunter would have been all over that shit, dude.
It must have been so hard to track people down in the old
days.
Fuck
yeah,
you know what
dude. Hell yeah.
They're like, well, he's not here.
And you're like, well,
I don't know.
I have no more leads.
Someone call me if you see him. Hope we get him.
Not far enough in the past to look at broken sticks on the ground. Not far enough in the future to have like technology. Yeah. So you're just like, well, I guess he's gone.
Imagine being like in Palestine and you're like, I'm following a lead, right. You know, and you're like, he was
in New York the whole time.
Yeah, never. He's like, I just went to another penthouse.
Dude, yeah.
He's right. You can actually see it from where we are,
right up the street, actually.
So he got federal narcotics trafficking charges. Then he got labor extortion charges. And he got 30 years of state prison and 14 years in good old Leavenworth, Kansas.
Damn, for the federal charges. Yeah, represent.
While in prison in 1940, he was indicted on a murder, but that one never went to trial. 1941, it was when he got arraigned for 4 other murders while still in prison. And unfortunately for him, the feds had a rat, one of the Murder Inc. Employees. And Buchalter was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to death.
After all that man did for y'all.
I know. For I was real. Like... He took you on a cruise, took you to a baseball game,
right?
Made you a made man,
had a retainer and everything.
He was at your kid's fucking circumcision.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
So he appealed, went all the way to the Supreme Court. Interesting thing, like in his appeals, one of the appeals courts, they were like, "This trial was really bullshit." Like they had a couple people abstain, but like 3 of them were like, "This whole thing should have been thrown out." Like it was so bad. Damn. But it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, who affirmed the conviction 7-0 with 2 abstentions. And in 1944, he's transported to the infamous Sing Sing prison and electrocuted in the infamous Sparky electric chair. Ooh. Right after 2 of his lieutenants. Ooh. And that is the story of Lepke Buchalter, the Jewish murderer.
The electric chair sounds like a bad way to go.
Oh, that is a
bad way to go.
Shockingly inhumane, awful thing that we do. I cannot believe that's real. It's horrid.
Bad way to go. Wow, damn, that dude was fucking insane.
I was like, he was so organized. He didn't have a lot of his own life drama because it was just like such a good, you know, he did a little bit of jail. He's like, all right, I'm gonna get my act together. And he just like does such a business, you know, he just businesses his ass off. And it sounds pretty great.
Yeah, it sounds fucking lit. I forgot I started my fucking notes like this.
What'd you do?
I just texted you. Today,
Oh, yeah, you have to cover the good person.
Yeah, I gotta cover the good person. The good person from the good place. I am going to be talking about one of the deadliest women to ever wield a rifle. That would be Miss Ludmila Pavlichenko.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it is 1942, and 2 German soldiers are standing in a field. They're shooting the shit with each other. They're standing around with their peepees in their hands. And while they're talking, one of them gets his fucking brains blown out right out the side of his skull. The second one, the fucking Nazi scum, doesn't really have time to react. As soon as he sees his friend get blasted, he's like, whoa. And then a bullet rips through his dome piece and fucking crumples him into a heap on the cold ground right where he belongs next to his dead homie. Unbeknownst.
In your notes.
I did, yeah.
Dude, cycling a Mosin bolt that fast is already god tier.
Right?
I'm like, no.
And that's one of the things that they made a point in like the notes and the videos I watched was like they're using a Mosin, so like most of the time it takes one multiple shots to kill one target, most snipers, and then also if one person gets shot, there's enough time for the next person to like react and get down.
There's not that many bolt actions that they could pull off the second shot that fast.
Yeah.
And the Mosin's the one of the worst to do it. Like, truly.
So, unbeknownst to these now deceased men, they would be the first 2 lives taken by one of the most feared Russian snipers to ever live, Lady Death. So Ludmila Pavlichenko.
And she accounts for sugar because she's shooting Nazis.
Killing Nazis, dude. Hell yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great choice.
So Ludmila was born in 1916 in good old Belya Tverskov, Ukraine. Thank you. Her maiden name was Belova. She would later get married when she, and that's where she got the last name, Pavlichenko. So while she's a teenager, her family relocates to good old Kyiv, and from an early age, Ludmila was just tough as fucking nails. She would often challenge boys in her class to competitions and just kind of like being an all-around tomboy, just kicking ass and taking names. And it was at an early age that she did pick up sharpshooting.
Dude, I bet a Russian 13-year-old girl from the early 1900s could beat the piss out of me.
Yeah, beat the fucking brakes off me, dude.
I'm sure she is so much more tough and capable than me.
100%.
So insane.
So at an early age, she picks up sharpshooting and quickly excels in it. She wins a bunch of medals. As a teen, she gets work at the Kiev Arsenal factory while going to school. She would eventually graduate early, and during this time is when she marries her first husband, Alexei Pavlichenko, at 16. They end up having a son together. All's cool, fine, and groovy. So a little bit of time goes on, and Ludmilla decides she wants to pursue a higher education. This ultimately leads to her getting a divorce, and because she's like, I don't want to stay at home taking care of the kids, which wasn't like... Soviet Russia, the American idea of being a stay-at-home housewife was not like the norm. Like, women were encouraged to work, and like, you know, and other people would help raise your kid.
Those filthy communist reds that those kindergartners in Florida are gonna have to learn about have to learn that the Russians treated women a lot better than America did for a long time.
So she wants to get a higher education. This leads to her getting a divorce from her, you know, she divorces her ex-husband, but she keeps his last name. She starts going to college, majoring in history, and ultimately wants to become a teacher. She was adamant about being a teacher, as the brass at the Arsenal factory recommended her for military engineering school, and she declined because she wanted to be a teacher. And so,
wow,
crazy, right? As soon as she finishes her bachelor's degree, she wants to move on to get her master's in 1941. Unfortunately, that's when the Nazis launched Operation Barbarossa, and it's a little hard to continue your education when your school gets blown to fucking bits. So the Nazis invade the Soviet Union, and Ludmilla experiences fucking horrors beyond her wildest dreams. This all happened during the Battle of Kyiv. She basically witnessed her friends and loved ones being tortured, hung by the side of the road, and set ablaze. And so she decides that she's going to put teaching on the back burner for a little bit and become an extension of Death's Hand. She tries to enlist in the Soviet army.
I will be the sickle of the reaper. Okay.
New career path. So she tries to enlist in the Soviet army, but is denied due to being a woman. And not long after, though, in 1941, the Soviets loosen the rules on women joining the military. And at 24, she enlists, being one of the you know, first and just one of the rare women in general to volunteer to go fight rather than being asked. She shows them her medals for her exceptional marksmanship, and
that's badass,
dude. Right? Yeah, fucking sick. There's as hell.
Keep talking.
So she shows up. She shows them her medals that she has gotten from being an exceptional marksman, and they send her ass to sniper school. There would eventually be an all-woman sniper school, but this was so early on that she attended a sniper school full of men. So
that's lit.
Yeah.
And
it's
probably
crazy.
Horrible.
Very probably. Yeah. Probably fucking awful.
Russian dude. Everything I've read about
not good.
The average rural Russian farmer man,
not good
is
at all.
They are just a goon.
Egregious. So her, as you could probably guess, her entire time in sniper school, she was bullied. She was hazed. Got the fucking shit hazed out of her. She's in a school full of men, so she's got to fucking prove herself, but boy fucking howdy did she ever. So basically, the men at the sniper school are like, listen, you got to kill 2 German soldiers to prove you got some fucking gravel in your crawl, or you're not allowed to be a sniper, and you can't be a sniper in the Russian army. You got to pack your shit up and go home. So she's like, okay, not a problem. And that's exactly what she did. Those are the 2 dead men we see in the beginning of our story.
Oh, hell yeah.
The people at the sniper school were like, kill 2 Russian soldiers. And like, they got to be in a field. They got to be standing next to each other. German soldiers.
Yeah.
And she did it. And they were like, fuck, dude. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Oh, damn it.
And then she was now you. And they were like, well, come on now. So she does it. And she passes through sniper school. It was an impressive feat, like we said earlier, because most snipers at the time needed multiple rounds to kill one target. And also, you know, cycling around in a Mosin was not exactly a quick fucking action.
You have to slap it around a 1950s wife who just burned your meatloaf.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to recommend The Unwomanly Face of War by Svetlana Alexievich.
That sounds familiar.
It's an oral history of women in World War II. It focuses primarily on Soviet women.
Yeah,
it is. And it's cool because it's not just Soviet snipers. It's women doing everything. That's like tight. Every part of the... Because Soviet women were very involved in the war effort.
Yeah.
It's a really, really awesome book. It's basically done by... just changing perspectives and going to a different person's story. And it's a great book.
So yeah, expect to hear more about Soviet women in the war, because researching this gal gave me some fucking more ideas for heroes I can cover. Like I said, impressive feat. Killing two targets in quick succession is not an easy thing to do with a Mosin. So she passes her initiation. She becomes a sniper. Let's fucking go, gamers. So on 8th of August, Ludmilla takes part in the Battle of Odessa. This battle lasts until the 16th of October in 1941. And this battle alone, Ludmilla racked up 187 confirmed kills with her handy-dandy Mosin. Dude, like, fucking dropping motherfuckers. Like,
what is that? That's like a company, right?
187? Yeah, that'd be about a company. Maybe a little bit less.
A company of people.
Yeah.
Where she's watching them die every time.
Yeah, and like they carve, you know, tallies in their buttstock for how many kills hers is just to end cover.
They're like, what happened to your...
Jesus Christ. So she kills 187 people in that battle alone. During one skirmish, she had taken a sniper position in a tree. Her cover ended up being blown, and she had some rounds get laid around her, and she purposely falls out of this tree and lays on the ground playing dead.
I'll just fall out of the tree to trick
them. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, my God.
Dedication.
Okay.
So she falls out of this tree and plays dead as, you know, the war continues around her. And once the sun goes down, once the sun sets, she gets up and she fucking sneaks her way back to her camp. And her comrades were fucking absolutely, consider their fucking flabbers gassed when they saw her. They were like, oh my God. So,
ma'am, you have properly gassed my flabber.
Yeah, you have probably fucking gassed my flabbers. And because they thought she was dead. So they see her, and that's kind of how she got, they thought she'd been KIA, and that's how she got the nickname Lady Death. And probably the account of that she was, you know, killing people like it was going out of style.
Because, oh my God.
So this near-death experience did not shake her. She continued doing the Lord's work, sending Nazis to their grave. The next battle Ludmilla would partake in was the Battle of Sevastopol, where she dropped another impressive 70 Nazis straight into the grave, straight to hell, straight to the boiling room of hell.
It's like, if you yourself as a soldier stormed to Normandy and then marched through to Berlin, and you were fucking point of the spear with your goddamn Garand shooting Nazis in the face, you'd kill like 10.
Dude,
10.
Yeah.
Maybe 20.
She's dropping over 200 already.
Oh my fucking God.
So,
And then, you know, you like go after and you like have a life. I don't understand.
Yeah, you just
kid, you know what I mean?
Exactly. You go raise your kid.
Like, and you're done now.
Like, oh, all right, cool. I guess I'm going to go home.
Okay.
After killing like 200 people. So like I said, near-death experience in Shaker, she partakes in the Battle of Sevastopol, drops fucking 70 German soldiers. She was tasked with being a counter-sniper. Basically, it's exactly how the name sounds. Her job was to spot and kill enemy snipers that were taking out Russian soldiers, stating that the average time she would have to wait in one spot to find said enemy sniper was about 15 to 20 hours. She later talked about...
because she's done it so many times, she has an average.
Dude, which is like, insane.
Oh, yeah, we're going to need about 10 more hours.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, okay.
Dude, fucking, it's... Oh, I cannot even imagine. So she later talks about some of the tricks that German snipers would use to try to get her to expose her position. They would throw cans out in the open, hoping that the glint off the can would trick her into taking a shot, giving away her position. They'd also hide dummies in German uniforms in the bushes. One German soldier even used a cat as bait, thinking that seeing this cat walking around would lure her into a false sense of security, and she would get up from her position and leave.
Like, she, like, blasts the cat.
Yeah, right. My cat! You used your own cat? False sense of security. So she was no fool, though. She would never be outsmarted. And she never got up until she knew for sure the enemy threat in the area was neutralized. One standoff causing her to wait 3 days in the same spot before the enemy sniper was finally convinced the coast was clear and stood up, promptly earning a bullet right in his fucking skull. Can you imagine, bro? Like, I've been here 3 days. We're good. We're Gucci. And you get up and just fucking...
Dude, no way she would be here for 3 days.
She was! Right? That's unfortunate.
My thing is, I'd be the opposite. They're like, dude, we've been here for 3 weeks.
She's still here.
Like, I'm like, no, she could still shoot someone in the face.
Yeah, I'd be like, go ahead, get up. Get up. You want to leave? Go ahead, get up. Let's see if the coast is clear.
Yeah, you do it. Actually, that would be great if you could do that.
Yeah, if you could do that, so I know for sure. So fucking Ludmilla was cold as motherfucking ice. At one point, she was stuck in a situation where all of her superior officers were killed in combat. She quickly took the reins and started instructing soldiers on a plan of attack. The men were hesitant to listen to her because she was a woman until one man yelled, quote, "Cowards, look at this woman. Pavlichenko has the balls of a man." And after they heard that, they all rallied behind her and made it out of the battle alive. Eventually, her kill count would reach 311. That's including the two German soldiers she killed in the beginning of our story. And her reputation spread far and wide. She quickly climbed through the ranks of the Red Army. And when German soldiers knew she was in the area, they would shout about finding her and chopping her into 309 pieces, which only fucking gave her motivation, saying,
quote, "Man, it'd be so awesome if they said the exact amount." You're like, wait. It's for sure. That's how many I killed. Yeah. Awesome.
Or they're like, 309 pieces. And she's like, that's not true. She's like yelling. It's 311. I killed two people in the beginning.
312.
30. Yeah. Just starts counting them down. So they would shout out that out to her when they knew she was in the area. And it only gave her motivation. Ludmilla saying, quote, "The feeling I have after killing a Nazi is the feeling of a hunter who has killed a beast of prey. Every time my bullet fells a Nazi, I have a feeling that I have saved lives." Hard.
It's true.
Hard.
It's true.
And it's awesome. Very accurate. Yes.
Yeah.
So during the course of her fighting, she was shot around 3 to 4 times, and she was riddled with countless bits of shrapnel. Eventually, these elements did take their toll, and Ludmilla hung her rifle up for good. She was honorably discharged and went back to Ukraine to her son. Though she wasn't blasting Nazi brains all over the floor, she did continue to help in the war effort. She would end up going on an American tour and tell of her heroic deeds in an effort to garner American support of sending American troops to Europe to fight the Third Reich. President Roosevelt believed that American men, seeing that women were on the front lines fighting the Germans, would get their pride hurt and be willing to fight more. She goes on this American tour in 1942. She doesn't speak English, so she has a translator with her. And the American media does exactly what the American media is really good at doing, which is making a complete fucking ass of themselves. Instead of paying attention to the fucking, I don't know, her incredibly heroic deeds, they tell her that she should wear more makeup and style her hair. And they asked her how she felt about the unflattering uniform and that it made her look fat.
They're like, "You don't look sexy."
Yeah, right. I have killed three. I've killed more people than you've probably met in your life. So one reporter,
it's like, you know, the sound of a bullet hitting a man's skull
right through his skull.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So one reporter even said that she should have done her makeup when she went into battle, and Ludmilla had to make a statement saying, "Hey, shit for brains, when you're taking enemy fire, powdering your nose is the least of your worries." Her response is obviously more civil and elegant, but she did fucking drill him into the ground. Eleanor Roosevelt accompanied Ludmilla on this tour.
Every time a man I'd be like, I'm sorry, have you killed 300 men?
Yeah. What's your kill count, buddy? I'm sorry. What's your kill count?
Have you ever laid wait in a tree for 3 days to shoot another man in the eye after you watched him play with a kitten?
Dude.
I'm like, oh, dude.
It baffles me. God. I'm like, you guys are literally the fucking worst. The worst.
Nothing. Like, it's crazy to me that women try to like impress men, because I'm like, it's not gonna work.
It's not. They're dumb. They're the dumbest people alive.
It's never gonna work.
So Eleanor Roosevelt accompanied Lumilo on this tour and was appalled by the American media and their fucking tomfoolery. And so she takes Pavlyuchenko under her wing and coaches her on public speaking and how to ignore the dumb fucking questions by American reporters. After her American tour, she returns home to Ukraine. Eleanor Roosevelt and Ludmilla had become really close friends during this American tour that Ludmilla was on. But once the Cold War started,
Eleanor Roosevelt knew so
dude,
many.
Dude, for
cool
real,
people.
Yeah,
she knew so
her
many.
Her fucking
cool
Rolodex was like full of banging people, bro.
I know.
So once the Cold War starts, though, Eleanor loses contact with Ludmilla, and Eleanor even goes the distance to visit the USSR against the government's wishes, and she tracks down Ludmilla and makes contact with her once again. Ludmilla had finished her Ludmilla had finished her studies at the newly rebuilt Kyiv University, and she had become a research specialist for the Navy. Ludmilla Pavlyuchenko would pass away in 1974 at the age of 58. To this day, she remains the greatest female sniper in history.
So young.
I know, dude, that's what I said.
Come on.
I was like, damn. I was like, I mean, I guess, dude, when you've killed 311 people and taken countless shrapnel and been shot and shit, you know, that takes a toll on your body.
I mean, yeah. Yes. Well, who is the Simohaya? How long did that guy live? Let me look that up. Simohaya lived pretty long, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Lived 96. Yeah,
90 fucking six.
90 motherfucking six. I hope desperately that he and her met
at least once.
You know,
at least like, once.
I've got to meet the only man who's killed as I have.
And you've got, it's like those two meet.
And Simo's like, oh, were you using a scope? Yuck.
Yeah, gross. Yeah. And you've got the two deadliest fucking people in the same room as each other. Wasn't he Finnish?
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
so he was shooting Soviets.
Yeah, maybe that's why he lived longer, because he was Finnish and not stuck in Ukraine for the remainder of his life.
True. Yeah, under the USSR, yeah, that's pretty fucking... Or, I mean, under the Soviets, yeah, that's pretty fucking bad. In Ukraine.
Dude, fuck yeah.
But that's pretty cool.
Right?
That's pretty cool. I mean, she put a lot of Nazis in the ground forever. That's amazing.
That's doing the Lord's work.
It is. It is.
After when I was covering her story, I was like, I like uncovered a bunch of like badass women from the war. So now I've got like at least a few more
buffer
names.
Yeah. It's so hard.
Dude,
but that's pretty good.
I know.
I like that one.
Thank you. You got any recommendations?
That book, yeah. Read The Unwomanly Face of War by Svetlana Alexievich. It's a very good book.
Yeah.
I enjoy it a lot, and it ties in well. And it's about ladies being badass.
Yeah, I'm putting that on my list because that sounds fucking awesome. I recommend watching Fallout. It's really good. As someone who has finished the series.
Oh, true. Yeah, I can't recommend if it doesn't finish, but I have loved it so far.
Yeah,
I
really enjoyed it. There were a few, you know, very minor things here and there, but nothing to like be like, oh, this is fucking bullshit. It was really good. They did a good job. I'm excited to see where they go with the story. And I'm excited to see them introduce more vaults and their experiments and stuff. Very excited for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Be safe. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourselves. Love you so much. Bye-bye.